Welcome to the podcast Benzo Tired. I'm your host, Neftel Benesty, and I'm Dutch. Join me on my journey into the world of benzodiazepines, withdrawal, bind, and more. Disclaimer, always consult your physician for medical advice. This is episode 39, Twists and Turns, and today it's May 1st, 2024. Hi everyone, it's me. It's a personal update episode, which has been forever ago. I hope that you're all doing well. I am doing well. That's important for me to convey here. However, I do want to say that I've been really, really struggling with recording this. I'm like, what do I even say? There's so much to say. I'm struggling to keep this within the hour. That's because there's been so many twists and turns in my journey. And my journey is benzo tired as well, because I'm, you know, the creator of the show. Just so much happened. And I don't even know where to start. I don't even know where to end. I'm going to do my best. But the reason there's many reasons why I wanted to do this episode is I've changed benzo tired in 2024. I revised it and I have my reasons for that. I re-recorded episode one. That's important to know, where I kind of go through my story in a nutshell throughout until 2024. But there's been a lot of you listening in ever since I created the show, and I just wanted to let y'all know how I'm doing. I don't want to share too much though, but I do want to give you a sense of why I revised and, you know, and what you can expect in the future. If I can promise anything about that, cause I can't. But I was like, oh gosh, there's been so many people listening into Benzo Tired, and maybe they've seen the feed changing, and so many of my previous episodes, I deleted them. I deleted them. And just because I'm at this phase now where I'm actually getting better, I'm seeing a new future for myself, although like bits of a new future, because I still have, you know, 5 milligrams of diazepam / Valium to get rid of. That's the end game. I'm long holding. It's not for everyone. See, always when I'm like, this is one of the tricky things. It's like so many people are listening. So many people are listening. Like, I don't want to offend anyone. And then at the same time, I'm like, but it's my podcast, so I can say whatever the fuck I want. And then I'm like, oh, but a lot of people are sick just like me. So there are just so many things to take into consideration. You know, I want to be nice. I think I'm nice and I want to be nice and I want to give hope. I am doing better. So that's one thing. And I think, you know, I had to like really dig deep into when I was really ill and I was really sick and clawing my way throughout. I can only describe most of my withdrawals as life-threatening, really. I was so sick, and there was this phase where I was just obsessively finding information, and I really, it was a distraction for me. My distraction was I want to know everything about benzodiazepines. I want to know everything about withdrawal. I want to hear so many stories about people with lived experience that describe their story. I read books. My gosh, it is like an unofficial kind of master's degree, in my opinion, you know, and I used to not care about anything medical or nothing. That was not my passion at all. But I was like, this is concerning me, and I am an extreme case where I'm one of those horror stories, and how do I survive? I guess that was the biggest question. So I was like, in this journey, and I remember in terms of podcasting, I found Geraldine Burns' podcast, which really saved me. I keep on saying that because it's true. And I'm not going to say the name, but I found this other podcast. I don't think it's known at all within our community, but it's basically someone who, like me, decided like, oh, I'm going to share my taper. And I listened to that episode, or those episodes, and it just stops in the middle. So I'm like, oh, is this person, you know, I guess a lot of us have this in the benzo harm community. Is she still alive? What happened? I'm trying to like Google this person and not finding the information. I'm like, okay, if I'm going to make an episode, a podcast, I'm not going to be like that where I just disappear, poof, vanish. No, I can't do that. That's like, no. And then obviously, 2023 was so interesting in terms of benzo tired, where I got all these guests on the show and it becomes a different thing. It's me interviewing people and learning things from the people as I'm interviewing them. So it was very educational to me. It was distraction. And then Again, I'll just say that 2023 was very eventful in terms of bind, in terms of my personal life. It was just so many things were happening. And yeah, it's just crazy. This is so hard for me to record. I'm really, really sorry, but I want to start off again by saying, like, I hear you, I see you. I want to be here. I want to let you know that I'm okay. I guess mainly today in this episode, I want to share stuff about the podcast, which is related to me, like, how do I want to move on? And anyways, 2023, I record with all these people, I do personal episodes, I do projects considering my personal episodes. And yeah, at the end of 2023, I'm like kind of like rethinking benzo tired me, my life, everything. So I took a pretty big break, if not changing the podcast or the ideas that I have for the podcast entirely. So we are now in May of 2024 and rewind. So we go to January and I have taken a break, indefinite break from Benzo Tired. I'm like, okay, I did the episode with Mark Horowitz. It totally kind of catered to all of my questions. And I was like, okay, from a scientific point of view, this is what I would have loved to know before I started my taper, before I started benzos and everything. I was like, this is such a good, in my opinion, it was such a good episode, benzo technical wise, as you will. So I was like, oh, this is great. This is like the new Ashton manual. So I get to give this, well, he gets to give it, but I'm like, I get to talk about this, you know, and I give, that was my approach to this thing the whole time, like more scientific. So with the audience that listened, and there's a lot of people that listen to that episode, I'm like, you know, that's something that I can tell people, like, hey, look into that if you want to know on how to safely come off of it, you know? So from a scientific point of view, so it's like, okay, you know, nothing can really top that episode. Anyways, another part of Benzo Tired, or the biggest part, was my personal kind of story. And I remember once I started doing that, I was like, maybe it'll be cool if I share my taper story up till zero. That taper ended up never happening. So I was like, okay, so how do I do this then? I can't, because I'm just long holding. So what's there to say? I'm still in 5 milligrams. It's boring. You know, there's nothing that I can say. I can share my symptoms or my life and kind of doubting about that. But, you know, my life had changed a lot by the end of 2023. I was working again. And again, all this reevaluating that I had been doing, processing everything that happened to me. And I think one of the most important things for me to say right here, right now, is that my benzo journey did not start as I tried to come off of it. It started when I got instated the benzos and I had paradoxical reactions and I was never really well on benzodiazepines. That's what I can tell you, you know? I mean, yes, I was fighting for my life the moment that I wanted to come off of it because of all the bad advice and not knowing any of this. I was just so uneducated, as were my doctor, psychiatrist. I was like, so basically I went from sort of stable, functional to dying within days. So I had not expected that. And I was a quote unquote good patient. I came in, I was like, hey, I want to come off these drugs, help me with this. I thought, you know, I like a lot of people, like, you studied for this, so I'll let you guide me. It went totally haywire and just everything went wrong. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. So I was basically thrown into life-threatening withdrawal, and I was overwhelmed because I had never heard of this. I had not expected to become as sick as I got sick. So my life changed in the blink of an eye, and I was in acute, severe, life-threatening benzo withdrawal for months before I found the Ashton manual. And obviously I was like shocked. It's that moment where you're like, my life can never be the same again. I've been betrayed, all the emotions, and so sick, so indescribably sick, so cognitively declined, barely sleeping. It was just awful. It was awful. It was traumatic, and it's a miracle that I'm alive. And anyways, so I'm going back and forth and being all messy like I am, because I'm struggling with recording myself. But I want to, all these people that have been so cool and been listening in, I want to give you a sign of life. I mean, in terms of my personal story, the interviews that I've done, or these kind of like round table chats about certain topics, sometimes my story gets, you know, in that kind of like conversation. So it's not that it's a secret. It's not a secret at all, my story. I'm just really thinking about, which I didn't think about before, was like, oh gosh, I didn't think ahead that I'd be getting better and I'd be working and that this is public. And let's touch on that, because I used to be, and now that I'm getting a lot better, I'm kind of like recognizing old parts of me more, and that later I'm like, oh, I used to be so private. I really respected, you know, my own privacy, and I was like, okay, social media, I'm just going to be very private. Only my friends can follow me. Very, very private. Very private. I did not have the need to connect with strangers before this happened. And then obviously the whole benzo situation happened. I was like, okay, I got over myself. I got over the privacy. I got over my shame and all of these things. I was like, I have to warn the world. This is more important than me. This is bigger than me. So I acted on that. And, you know, then I'm getting more to myself, and I'll touch on a little bit on how 2024 has been for me. It's just been fascinating. So fascinating. Anyway, so I did the Mark episode. I was like, you know, I'm just indefinitely not recording for Benzo Tired. Maybe I'll come back. That's the cool thing about podcasting. I can just do this whenever. I intend to do that whenever, for starters. And I don't know, I just resumed life mostly, you know, with my mind. So I was like just living life, and there were all these events taking place in 2024, big personal events, and which I'd like to keep personal. So I was just living life, which is a good sign that I was doing better. And yeah, so I basically kind of quit. And then I think it was, yeah, March of 2024, I started to notice mind is so, to me, it's very complicated to explain, because waves, windows, we have these terms, highly functional, stable. But how do you explain mind, where one day is not the same as the last or the next day, right? So you can have a really grand day or window, and then maybe not a great day afterwards. Is that a wave then? Like, how do I explain? Like, I still have a shitty day here and there, but it's nothing like shitty days a year before or a year before that. And I will argue that my good days now are the best days that I've had since 7.5 years. So it's kind of like, oh gosh, you know, I'm always bitching about if I have a shitty night of sleep or something, but you know, I've not been doing great for 7.5 years, although that wasn't noticeable to my surroundings or myself. I was just restless every day, just this whole time on the benzos without tapering or trying to come off of it is the most fascinating part, maybe even to me, and maybe in the end for the community. My personality changes. So much happened on benzos. Basically, how do I say this politically correct, which I never do, but benzos really destroyed my life, or sabotaged a part of my life. I still have a lot of hope, else I wouldn't be here. I'm doing a whole lot better. At least I know what my problem is. It's the benzo that is my problem, not my tinnitus, because I was like, oh, it's the tinnitus, it's tinnitus, or maybe Lyme disease, which I had, you know? So knowing what's wrong actually allows me to fix the problem, you know, or address the problem. But anyways, back to 2024, and I'm living my life. I'm seeing friends again. I'm doing all of these things that I missed out on, like, and these super fucking interesting processes, like, oh gosh, I haven't really been alive for so long. I've been basically surviving, and here I am. And it was kind of overwhelming. It's a mind thing as well. When I'm quickly overwhelmed, I'm like, oh right, I remember this. I used to do this. I'll give you one example. Like, I went out to dinner, and I was like, oh, I used to do this all the time before withdrawal, you know? So it's getting those bits and pieces back of life that is interesting. But one thing that was really pivotal to me in my personal journey / benzo journey was I decided in January that I was going to write a book about my story, for various reasons. There, as far as I know, there aren't any Dutch-oriented books about benzos. I was like, I want there to be one in my native tongue. It's also easier to write in my native tongue. It's also, from a cultural aspect, different as a Dutchie. So a Dutchie would be, you know, inclined to relate more with my story, I reckon. And I was like, I think when I recorded with Mark and all the research that I'd done and all of the stories that I've heard, and all the people that I had interviewed with, I knew broadly what happened to me. You know, I was like, and then there's the knowing part and trying to like reconstruct what had happened the past years and how I got where I was. And one part that I will share with you is that I blamed myself for a whole long time because I thought something was mentally wrong with me. I thought I had a midlife crisis somewhere on these benzos. I was like, I am so different. I don't recognize me. I do not recognize my erratic behavior. I do not recognize me being aggressive, verbally aggressive sometimes to the love of my life. And I just did not understand. All I was thinking was, wow, my life has been so different ever since Lyme disease / tinnitus. How I never linked it to the benzo, never. Anyway, so I start writing my book, and it is just so interesting. It is so interesting. It's a memoir. It's about how I was basically doing really well in life before I got my Lyme, tinnitus, and benzos. And that clearly in this book, clearly in my memoir, it's the benzos that really changed my life for the worse. Just never can be the same. So I'm writing, you know, I start writing my book in January, and it's a very interesting creative process because, you know, it's like, oh, this happened, that happened, and you're writing all of that down. It's like, okay, this is kind of like this happened, and then this happened, and then I went over there, and then, you know, and then, but later on, I think this started to happen in March, where I started to get memories back, and I had heard of that, but I didn't think it would happen to me. I didn't necessarily think that I had lost memories, but evidently I did. And it is interesting. It was overwhelming because I was like, oh gosh, I don't know if my brain and my sensitive nervous system can handle all of the wave of memories that I was all of a sudden getting back. I was like, oh, I really did that. I was there. I was, oh, this person, and oh gosh, my marriage, and oh my gosh, just being so overwhelmed and shocked by everything that happened. Because if there's one thing that I think about my own story is that it is super bizarre. Now, mind you, I've heard a lot of benzo stories and there are parallels like getting misdiagnosed. Yet still, my story is really, really bizarre on how things happened. And me blaming myself started to change. I was like, no, I just got a drug that I had a bad reaction to, and it ruined a part of my life. And it would have been totally preventable. People, or specifically my prescriber, could have interpreted really clear signs of me saying like, hey, I am having severe side effects from this quote unquote medication. I prefer calling them drugs, but you know, semantics perhaps, but I should have never been given a second or third or fourth kind of benzo. It should not have happened. And it's just very obvious to see, and interesting maybe for an audience that doesn't know about this, you know, benzo problem, which is obviously more of the case for me. I want to get to the people who don't know about this problem because I wish I could have, you know, read my own book 6 years or 7 years ago, because it would totally inspired me to get off of benzos and like, oh gosh, so this is what's actually wrong with me. Anyway, so I start writing the book, and it's March, and I'm getting memories back, and they are interesting. Oh, that's what I want to say there. It was like kind of like a jump towards healing. You know, I thought, you know, 2023 was all about getting my sleep back, I suppose. That was new. And I kind of like naively thought like, if I start sleeping better again, which I'm super grateful about, by the way, because it was just, I was obsessed trying to get to sleep because it wasn't working. I wasn't sleeping or barely sleeping. And it started to improve slowly, nonlinear throughout 2023. And I thought, oh, it's as long as I'm sleeping, everything will be better. It's just way more complicated than that, because even if everything gets better, which mostly physically it did, there are still a lot of trauma from the severe withdrawal that I have to deal with. And coming to realize what really happened and where things went wrong. And it's sad. It is sad to see all that happening, you know, and now knowing the reason. It's just been a very fascinating process. I feel that's one of the reasons that I deleted my personal episodes, because I was like, okay, my story is just too complicated and too complex, and there, I feel like nuance is needed, and so much nuance is needed. And I want to guide people through my kind of naive story, like, oh, I'm getting prescribed a drug. This physician is telling me this. Oh, now this is happening. I don't understand. And Yeah, it's really, for me, it's important to really have a chronological kind of story put out there. Now, I'm not regretting deleting all those episodes. It was me. It was hours and hours and hours of me talking about my days, my weeks, my challenges, or things that I was learning about benzos, which was also a part of Benzo Tired, trying to educate people. But I actually said in episode one, I just refer people to the Benzodiazepine Information Coalition because they have so many good resources. And it's like, you know, I was kind of taking people on a journey with me, like, oh, I found this thing called Bind, you know, and I would talk about that. But it's like, actually, people can just go to a certain website and do their own research. They can find it for themselves if they're interested, because maybe not everyone is interested in things like that. So I'm writing my book. I'm still writing my book. It's still not done. I'm not sure what the ending is going to be like. Hopefully it'll be, I got off, I got better at the end. That is one of the things that I'm kind of still hoping for Benzo Tired. Whenever I get off, that I get to share that with the audience, because again, it's not a secret. The plan for the book is currently, and everything can still change, is that I finish my book. I would love to have it published, not for money or whatever at all, because I know, you know, authors don't really make a lot of money, but it's more, I'll get the publicity and hopefully people will get, maybe it will start a dialogue in this country about benzodiazepines, tranquilizers, sleeping pills, which is a major trigger to me because I don't like the word sleeping pills because, you know, they actually ruin your sleep. So I wish I'd known that. I wish people start using different language for that. Because a part of me just wants to put it online. Here, y'all, this is my story. But it would miss the kind of the boats in terms of getting publicity for it. So, and then not knowing if it will happen, when it will happen. So many things are unclear about that. But hopefully I'll be able to translate it myself to English because I would know, like, okay, this is something that is so Dutch oriented, so I need to explain that and elaborate or just write differently for the English speaking community. So those are kind of like goals for me. But, you know, obviously I'm not writing my book every day. I'm living life as well. So it's kind of a thing that I do on the side and I edit. It's just a very interesting process. And in terms of how I'm doing now, because we're now in May, I've skipped a few things for the podcast, but I'll get to that because I want to let you know what Benzo Tired is currently, which, you know, what my plans currently are for Benzo Tired. But I am doing well. I am in this phase where I'm doing better, but I cannot deny the severity of what happened. So I'm in this stage of grief where I'm like, oh my gosh, I've lost 7.5 years. And, you know, I used to be this half full, half glass full kind of person. I still am. I know I'll get it back as well. And even that side of me saying, well, not every day was bad, you know, the past 7.5 years. You were super highly functional on benzos for a long time. You've had some interesting things happening. Not everything was bad. But looking back on that version of me, because it was a different version of me for sure, I was like, but it was a different version. It wasn't like the authentic me. And then there's these life questions. I'm still on 5 milligrams. I'm long holding. What lies beyond the benzos? What does the future hold? So I don't know. And that's okay. And that's the cool thing, again, about podcasting. This is just now in the moment, you know, me sharing this, not having all the answers for myself. And that's okay. That's okay. So, I'm struggling so much, y'all. And I want you to know that I'm struggling with recording this episode. Anyways, my memories are starting to come back, which is interesting, emotional, complex to kind of like convey, but it's helping me write the book. Because I'm like, oh, I totally forgot about this. And I totally forgot about that. Oh gosh, and this happened. So I want to do my book justice. I want to do my story justice too, because I feel like the best way for me to do that is the book. And the book is interesting in that regard because that's what I originally wanted to do before Benzo Tired. I actually started to write. I remember that I started to write in May of 2022. I had my first window, and I people that have listened before to episodes that no longer exist, I call it the Oasis. For all these reasons, but I had my first window after like months of severe suffering. I was like, oh my God. I was like in shock. I was in total shock. I do have PTSD from all of this, obviously. I was like, oh my gosh. I remember that vibe feeling well, but I'm like, oh my God, I cannot believe that I almost died. I cannot believe that this happened to me. I have to figure out what did just happen to me? What did just happen? So I started to write. And as I started to write, I think I had like a few chapters and, you know, and I was like, oh gosh, this is going to take a whole lot longer than I anticipated. I'm not going to be off of this drug in a month or two, won't I? I was like, okay, I think this is going to be a multi-year process, which I don't want it to be. I was very much struggling with that whole timeline thing. And I deleted the book. And then a few months later, in October of 2022, I started to do the podcast. I was like, I don't have time for this. I need my story to be out there. And I also want to say, mind you, that I really thought that I was a really, really rare case. And maybe I'm somewhat rare, you know, with the seizures and paradoxical reactions, perhaps. But, you know, obviously, I find more and more stories along the way. I'm like, okay, this actually happens more than I thought that it did. So I'm not that rare, you know. And these horror stories, there are so many of them out there. So hopefully I can at least say with, I am a horror story, but I got a lot better. I'm still not off though. And I know that there's a lot of opinions about that, but you know what? That's okay. That's okay. I've noticed this during like recording with people, being on Benzo Buddies, and everyone has an opinion and that's fine. I'm more of a person who's like, okay, let's at least have consensus with one another, because there is, luckily, in a divided community sometimes, in my opinion, there is consensus, at least on what not to do. So we don't know exactly what to do exactly, but we do know like, hey, that's not sensible for you cold turkey, or it's not sensible to like throw in a bunch of other psych meds unless there's no other way or no other option. So that is nice. Now, obviously, the plan is to encapsulate my entire story, including a part, you know, being benzo tired and meeting these people and connecting with the community and all that, which was also just saved me and was very helpful. And I've made new friends and cool experience doing this, recording, making a podcast series while I was really sick. That was amazing to me. You know, like, wow, I can't believe I did this. I can't believe I'm doing this. I can't believe I taught myself on how to do this. I can't believe all those things. Like, okay, so there are these silver linings throughout this whole journey, but I really want to like have this really complicated, long story. It needs a book, period. Currently, I'm in the face of grief, and I'm not sad about that. I'm sad because I'm grieving. However, I know from experience that grief is the predecessor of acceptance. And, you know, it's going to be, it's a process. This whole thing is a process. And now I've become more like, as I'm physically more stable and I'm sleeping so much better, I'm like, okay, this was a very traumatic experience. I'm still not done. I need to kind of process all of this. And that's going to be a long process. It's a sign of healing. It's a sign of going forward. It's a very interesting process, and yeah, just sometimes it's overwhelming, truth be told. I'm like, okay, my life cannot ever be the same again, but I know that I have it in me because my personality is like, oh, the glass is half full. I can find new purpose. I can find new ways to have a good life during withdrawal, after withdrawal. I just have to find new things. Interesting about podcasting that I've done this during buying and being as sick as I was, is that I've always had before podcasting, I was very passionate about education. I wanted to become an English teacher. That was plan A. I turned out to, you know, I went to become a social worker, plan B. But in a way, this is also kind of trying to educate people, even if it's just by listening to another story and how someone else dealt with their benzo situation. So it's kind of like, yeah, that was really my thing. It's kind of like rediscovering myself and kind of dealing with the situation as it is. And Bind is kind of, you know, unpredictable to me. Like, I can still have waves. I'm ready for that. Well, in a way, you know, you're always like, oh, I'm in a way, fuck, shit. If I would have waves now, maybe there's like some twitchiness in a muscle or just some bad sleep, you know, that happens. And then, you know, you come back and it's just a very interesting process about Benzo Tired, because I really wanted to do an episode like and say, oh gosh, you know, all of my personal episodes are mostly gone. I re-recorded episode one. What's happening with Benzo Tired? That's the main reason what I wanted to do, which in you know, you cannot disconnect it from my personal journey. So I started to get memories back in March, and I was rethinking Benzo Tired. I'm like, you know, it's out there. It'll never go away. The episodes, mainly the interviews, they're there. I know that there's going to be a whole lot of people that discover my podcast later on, years from now. I've done a good job. Hopefully someone will connect with one of my guests or whatever. And I was like, you know, I still have some projects, but how am I going to do it? Because I don't want to be, well, first of all, I don't want to. And second of all, my life is too different now to be as engaged in podcasting now as I was in 2023. I can't do it all. That's just the reality of things. It's not sustainable. And also, I think going back to work, I have a lot of opinions about that, and there's a lot to say on that end, but it did kind of like, oh, right, so this is normal world. And, you know, I've been so engaged in the Benzo world, which is great, but it's also kind of, I think, healthy, mentally healthy for me to also kind of go back and reintegrate, as you will, in society, you know? I mean, it's commendable that there's all these people full-time doing Benzo stuff. I thought that I would be doing that at some point, but no, actually, and I think it's a sign of me getting better. So I was thinking about it. I was like, okay, so what do I like about podcasting? What are the challenges? And I knew like the interviews, you know, those are kind of intensive in terms of work, labor, you know, great doing them, love doing it, but it is work. It is work. I was like, okay, I don't feel in the zone for doing that right now, but I do love having conversation about certain topics. I remember when I kind of ended in 2023, I was like, oh, there were still some topics that I would love to do, but I never end up doing. So it was back in March that I kind of rethought Benzo Tired, like, how will I do it where I feel like I'm enjoying myself. And I think I decided like, okay, I want to like catch up with some friends that were on the show before, maybe do a few topics. And I did that. And I'm still doing that, but very much laid back. Like, I'm moving this year. I'm moving soon. I'm moving in the summer. So that's a big deal. You know, it's moving from home to home. It's kind of a big deal. So I'm like, okay, I think for now, so this is very much in the now, I will do, and I can do podcasting if it fits my schedule. And if I just have, I think I want to discuss this topic. I think it can be helpful for other people. And that's the zone that I'm in right now. So I'm not actively looking for people to interview at all. Maybe one day I'll come back and do that. Maybe I won't. You know, it's like, it's so open because I want people to see, it's not really like that, but I hope that people can see that Benzo Tired was originally some sort of blog of mine. And I just happened to have all these people on the show. I kind of like just went with the flow, and I think it was cool, very cool, very unexpected, but now it's more like whenever I'm able to and whenever I feel like I want to do it. Because it's a lot to carry on one person, in my opinion, podcasting. I have no one editing my audio. It's me, you know, it's a lot. But if I can have a good time recording, then it's cool. And it's kind of like also a phase, you know, I went through these phases with Benzo Tired. And first it was like yelling about how sick I was and doom and gloom, and I'm not there anymore. I'm doing better. So that's also a reason why I deleted a lot of my personal episodes at the time. Was like, I want people to know every detail about my craziness, my not being able to regulate my emotions, crying, screaming, being angry. And I wanted people to hear that. But now as I'm getting better, I think I'm understanding more on what is helpful in terms of connecting to other people, as I wasn't mentally doing that great all the time, and what's ineffective and what is effective, and like what is relevant, and how do we convey this? That's like something that interests me to no end still. Like, how do we convey this process, this, you know, the restlessness, the sadness, the pathological and sonic. Every bad thing that comes with benzo, how do we convey this to other people, and how do we actually change the problem? Because the problem is the overprescription of these drugs. And I would love to be some sort of bridge in the end. And I think hopefully my book can inspire some people to get off of benzos or look at benzos in a different kind of way. Because that was really interesting as I went back to work. And I was so, I was podcasting sort of full time one day. And then I'm just seeing other people. I'm like, I don't even know how to convey this story. How do I even say this? It's a very interesting process. And I'm hoping to do that with my book, because I have no illusions that I will be the one that changes benzo policy over the world. No, that's not going to happen. I think the community is doing a great job. But, you know, I think what we all want is change, legal change, perhaps. Or, like, the only thing that we can do right now is warn people in our environment. Like, stay away from benzos. Don't take benzos more than 2-3 days. This is what happened to me. I got really harmed. These are the risks, blah, blah, blah. So, I hope with my book to get to an audience, the Dutch audience, because I've also discovered that I originally thought that a lot of Dutchies would be good at English, and I was kind of disappointed when I found out that no. No, unfortunately, no. There are Dutchies that, you know, their English is okay, but there's a lot of Dutchies that don't speak English at all. So it's like, okay. So that was, English saved my life. It saved my life because I got access to all of the information that was, you know, mostly British and American. That saved me. It educated me. But, you know, I'm Dutch. So I also want to reach to the people that have trouble with speaking English or understanding it. So Dutchies, all they have is the Astra Manual. So, and as you know, there's been a lot of change and new insights. So, and just the memoir. It's going to be interesting. So I'm going to wrap. I really, really struggled. I'm going to be very, very, very honest. I've done maybe 10 takes on this episode in one go. And I was like, I don't know. What do I say? And what's important for people to know? And I guess in a nutshell is benzo tired is currently a very go with the flow kind of thing. I'm working on my book. That is more of the focus now in terms of my benzo story. I'm living life again the best that I can with some limitations with mind. I'm moving. I'm looking forward to the move. There's a lot to look forward to. So, and that in the book, I will tell you this, there's been a lot of crazy twists and turns also this year. Again, it's not a secret, but hopefully one day I will be able to share that with everyone. And another thing that's important is, I think I still struggle with it as of now, is my privacy part. Like, I like to be private. I don't need to be famous. I don't need attention. I just wanted to share a story of hope. And hopefully I've done something good for the community. Hopefully one day, because that's the most important thing, if there's just one person that listens to a episode and feels like recognized and actually gets some tools, some practical tools to move forward, you know, my mission is complete. It would make all of my time and effort for Benzo Tired worth it. So if you're listening, thank you so much for listening, and I hope that you're well. And I will definitely do another update. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I will. And again, if you want to find more resources on benzodiazepines, I think the best website that you can visit is benzoinfo.com, which is the Benzodiazepine Information Coalition. It has so many resources, including podcasts. And to wrap with that, if you really want to listen to other benzo-related podcasts, there's Geraldine's. It's called Benzodiazepine Awareness. Love that podcast series. I love Geraldine so much. And then there is D.E. Foster's The Benzo Free Podcast, which I interestingly found way later in this whole journey. I thought it was just me and Geraldine podcasting. That's not true. He has two podcasts right now. One is benzo related, I think, and one is more focused on anxiety and stuff. I mean, D.E. Foster is amazing. He does so many things for the community. He's so awesome. I have so much respect for him. So if you're like, oh, I love like listening about this topic or just hearing a voice to get me through, you know, you can go to Geraldine, you can go to D.E. Foster. And then there is DeWitt During Joseph, who has this podcast. I think it's called Life on Less Meds. So there's so many things. There's so many resources that you can tap into. The community is way bigger than I imagined it would be, and I'm so happy for it. I'm so hopeful. There's so many people speaking up, and it warms my heart. And again, thank you so much for listening in, and hopefully you will hear me somewhere in the future and where I'm even doing more better than I'm doing now. Take care, y'all. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the episode. Be well, be safe. Remember, it's not a race, and don't forget to subscribe and rate the show.